Hey, what's going on? This is your boy J. Will. Got Bishop Hamner here. We're going to be talking about some pretty difficult stuff on tonight. But first of all, this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used as illegal health or tax or professional advice of any kind. We're not responsible, nor will we be held liable as a result of your nefariousness from listening to this podcast. You can sponsor the Truth Ministries podcast with Bishop Hamner at Kroger Community Rewards. Type in JX228 to donate to Truth Ministries. And if you want to speak with the bishop about something, maybe you need counseling, you can email Bishop Hamner at truthministries30@gmail.com. truthministries30@gmail.com. And of course, you can always hit me up, J. Will. Lee Will, the letter J, at gmail.com. That's Lee Will, the letter J, at gmail.com. All right, so we're going to be talking about the hugest topic that's going on for the past week and a half, 2 weeks, and that's about Mr. Charlie Kirk. And we all know that he was assassinated. And right out the gate, and I'm saying this, as and Bishop agrees with this, we're not saying or we're not celebrating this young man getting murdered, okay? We don't condone violence. We don't condone what happened to him. We're not in agreement what happened to him. We just want to talk about what happened to him. And so you can take that for what it is, but we are not in agreement, nor we support any type of gun violence that happened to him. And we're praying for him, his wife, and his children. And we're also praying for those young students that were at that particular rally when it happened, because they're going to be suffering some traumatic, you know, psychological and emotional issues as well, because they saw this whole thing happen. And, you know, we're just living in a time to where, you know, we just need to be praying without ceasing. We should have been doing it to begin with, praying without ceasing. But we do not endorse what happened to this man. Am I right on that, Bishop?
That's 100%. So the man was innocent. His words were innocent. He was espousing ideas to help make America a better place through dialogue. He was a man espousing viewpoints that help support free speech. And the speech that we are going to engage in tonight, we are using the same vehicle, which is the Constitution of the United States, to speak freely. And the first thing we want to make sure is clear is that we denounce all violence. Nobody deserves to die. And even when I look at Christ, Christ said, nobody takes my life, but I lay it down. And this gentleman did not start his day with the thought that he was going to lay his life down for his movement, but he was engaged enough in his movement, that he was willing to take it to the streets, and he was willing to enter into dialogue. And he only walked around with the most modest of security because he believed that his position was worth talking and communicating with. And he wanted people to get close. So he embraced dialogue. And to honor not only the Constitution of the United States, we want to honor what this man contributed to society. And we want to honor how he lost his life. And at no time are we going to defame him, defame his positions, mischaracterize him, mischaracterize his position. But we are going to stand on principles that make for peace and that support peace. This is the time where we need to talk to find a resolution so that we can improve and help support what his movement was all about. And his movement was about dialogue, free speech, and at the core, freedom. This is what this young man stood for. And we want to make sure that we honor that legacy, free speech. We want to make sure that we honor the legacy of freedom We want to make sure we honor the legacy of dialogue. And we do that by talking about hard subjects in a manner that makes for peace.
You know, very well said, Bishop. We are all graced with freedom of speech. And the First Amendment says that we have the freedom of speech. And I even looked as far as the Article 1, Section 2 of Ohio, which supports freedom of speech.
That's right.
But I tell you, it's a strange time we live in because, well, it ain't just the time we live it in. I mean, we've been saying it for years where people that were speaking freely sometimes paid for it with their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, I'm going to continue to preach the gospel and tell the truth. That's my freedom. I get to do that. But, you know, we've seen people go into churches and try to attack clergy for free speech. And we're teaching the oracles of God, trying to help people live better. And so clearly, from my standpoint, I didn't follow Mr. Kirk. You know, I've heard of him, I've seen him, but I didn't follow him in that regards because it just wasn't my type of thing. You know, I listen to more Noel Jones. That's my type of, you know, rhetoric, if you will. If I'm going to listen to something, it's going to be something about Jesus, you know, and how I can be more saved and more have more deliverance in my life so that I can see Jesus one day.
Oh, I agree. So when we're talking about free speech, we got to remember there are guardrails on free speech because you can't run into a crowded theater and holler fire or shooter. And there are no shooters and there are no fire. And then somehow when it comes to the law that was made for the lawless and disobedient, say that under the First Amendment, I have a right to do that. No, you can't. So there are guardrails. One of the things I want to talk about are those guardrails. And according to the scriptures, the guardrail that Yahshua told Peter, Jesus Christ, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, was this concerning guardrails, and make sure that you live by the guardrails as established. And then when you do live by the guardrails that are established, then the Almighty has afforded all of us with protections. But that does not mean that violence will not occur to you. It's less likely to occur once you operate in the guide rails. But the Almighty reigns on the just as well as the unjust, and time and chance happen to all men. So negative things can happen to good people. Positive things can happen to bad people. That's the way the Almighty has designed it. But one of the guardrails that Jesus told Peter is found in Matthew 26 and 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. So Jesus is telling Peter, this is not the time to take up a sword. This is the time for guardrails. This is the time for restraint. Because he said, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. So if you're not willing to live within the guardrails, not like Charlie. Charlie was within his right. This man was speaking. He's within his God-giving right. He did not lose his life. And that's one of the things I wanted to stress. Charlie didn't lose his life because of the freedom of speech. And he didn't lose his life because he was scared. He lost his life for something that we're going to talk about later. But at least this man was willing to stand on his principles. And all of us are going to live this life. But what Jesus told Peter is that live within the guardrails. Charlie was living within the guardrails. What happened to Charlie was outside of the guardrails, because at no time are you supposed to take somebody's life because of a viewpoint.
Right.
So Christ was telling Peter, you don't want to live outside of the guardrails, because when you do, that's when things happen. But Charlie unlike the shooter, Charlie was living within his guardrails, speaking his piece. The shooter was living outside of the guardrails. And the Bible says the law was made for the lawless and disobedient. So what I wanted to focus on was or is the lawlessness of the shooter and how the shooter had access and how the shooter was radicalized and how the shooter went off the guardrails and how Charlie was within his right to speak, working and operating within the guardrails, but the shooter is the problem. The access is the problem. The radicalization is the problem. I can disagree with a viewpoint without taking somebody's life. And we want to get inside of some of the viewpoints of Charlie. And if people don't like those viewpoints, as you stated earlier, he wasn't even on your radar. Well, if you upset about Charlie and his viewpoints, why in the world are you listening to him?
Facts.
Don't listen to him if you can't handle it. Because Christ said, if you listen to somebody and then you go outside of the guardrails, then you are the problem, not the person speaking. And it's not that I am for or against any viewpoint. I am for the ability to speak it freely in America without reprisal because I have constitutional protections. And what I want to do is prevent those who go off the guardrails to have open access to weapons that cause destruction. No, the weapon did not commit the crime. The person who went off guardrails had access. But if I take that access from the person who went off the guardrails, this could not have happened. If I remove being radicalized, this would not have happened. But I want to go back to this gun. And you have a military background. And if you don't mind, I'd like you to break down the gun that was reported was used and is actually being confiscated. So we have a little bit of information on that. And with you having the expertise, I wanted you to speak on that gun.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm the expert on it, but it was supposedly, according to what I can find, was a 30-06 bolt action weapon with a scope on it. And so I was in the military for 10 years and I've shot, you know, M60s, M50s, M203 grenade launchers. I trained with the M16A1 and the M16A2 assault rifles. I think they've even upgraded since then. But, you know, we were trained at the ranges to shoot targets. Some of those targets were pop-up targets. And so I became efficient with firing my M16A2 assault rifle. And with the proper adjustments on it, at 300 meters, I can hit a target in the chest, you know, from the prone position. And so I don't think it's very difficult, especially when you look at all the video games and stuff that we have today that help people learn how to shoot, how to use sight adjustments and how to use scopes in video games. I don't think it's very difficult for somebody to make the adjustments and learn how to shoot a weapon, even if they're amateur or have never shot weapons really in the past. They've been used to playing these video games. And so, but the difference between a video game and this young man, Mr. Robertson, shooting that real weapon is that it had a real life consequence. And the consequence was this man lost his life in front of his wife and kids. So, but that's, it's not that difficult to use a scope. I mean, if you can look through binoculars, you can probably use a scope on a weapon.
So that's what I wanted to talk about in regard to access. And you broke down for the audience very well how easy it is to use a weapon of that destruction. What I want to focus on is the one shot. And from what you told me, this particular gun only allows one shot in the barrel at a time.
It's bolt action.
That's what, and that's what the bolt action means. Just one round at a time, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then you explained how not very today's child with having access to video games, how to use a scope. You're telling me with a scope and a rifle, you don't have to be like yourself, 10 years, trained marksman, repeated time at a range. You can pick up this particular weapon, single action, with a scope and not much knowledge at all, not much understanding at all. Just know how to pull a trigger, put it in, pull the bolt back, drop it down, squeeze the trigger, aim and fire, and the accuracy is going to be above 90% for most people who fire this weapon. You said you were hitting it dead center, lining it up, and you didn't even have a scope. So with the scope, a person who's shooting going to hit their target at a very high percentage.
Well, that, you know, most of the, a lot of the scopes, I won't say most of them, some scopes have an X in it. So like a cross, and where the two crosses meet in the middle is the center. So I went to the shooting range several months ago with a friend of mine because he bought a new weapon. And I kept saying, man, I don't want to go shooting range, man. I don't want to go. He was like, oh, man, you must can't shoot. It's like, no, that ain't the reason I don't want to go. I just don't want to go. So I ended up going with him anyway. And beautiful weapon he had. And so he loads it up and we're in there. He says, we're going to put this target back there. And, you know, he shoots. And yeah, he did pretty good. But then it's been years since I was in the military. But I my first time with his weapon, my first shot was a little to the left, but my next five shots were center mass in a nice little circle. He was like, man, you can shoot. I said, I never said I couldn't. I just said I didn't want to. So this guy, you know, with the way, and according to the media, he played video games. Video games is just like a simulator. Like they have driving simulators.
Right.
They have airplane simulators to teach you and instruct you on how to
fly. And these video games are created in real life scenarios, real life technology. They are as factually accurate, as real life accurate as, I mean, they're dead nuts on their accuracy.
Yeah. So, you know, like when I was growing up and we had the shooting games on video, shooting video games, when you shoot the person, the little avatar just falls down.
Right.
Now the avatar is bleeding and moaning and groaning. Like,
correct.
It's so real like that. Right. I think that sometimes people, are, you know, have an illusion and mixing up, you know, pseudoistic reality with reality. And so I'm not saying that it's the video game's fault, but what I am saying is that we have to be mindful of a whole bunch of things when we consider gun violence of this nature. There's a whole bunch of things to consider. And I think that people that are sitting around, you know, doing what they do and playing video games that display a significant degree of violence is never helpful with people who are psychologically and emotionally unstable in the first place.
So I'm in agreement. And you're pointing out with his experience in video games, firing this particular weapon, because what I want to point this out. Again, one shot. Elevated position, let's say 200 yards, the neck is not center mass. very small window. That's a very small window when we're talking about mass. And only had one shot. Only took one shot. No need to reload. But the proficiency, and this, again, this off-the-rails person was accurate. One shot, very young. He didn't even have his full muscle mass developed. But he was able to take this weapon, and from the reports, it was a family heirloom, take this weapon, fire it. I don't know how many times he shot it before. All that's going to come out. But with a pinpoint accuracy, took this person out with one shot. If this, and we're just talking about the background on what we know, what's reported. But if it's this easy to kill someone with that weapon, one shot from that distance, I'm saddened that Charlie lost his life.
Right.
But now is the time that we need to discuss access to a weapon that allows you to be that lethal from that distance without years of training. You cannot just walk on an NBA court and play a video game and go play basketball. Can't do it. It will not transfer. You cannot play a football video game, drop on pads, line up in front of an NFL team and play.
Facts.
But there's a movie, and you can do this, where they took a person similar, young person, who drove cars that were realistic and became a real Indy driver and placed on a stand. They made a movie about it. He did it in video games, became a real Indianapolis 500 driver, placed on the stand, third place, all through simulation. You can do that with the video games on cars because the simulation was so real with the track, with the steering wheel. What was not simulated was the G-forces, but he was able to handle that, overcome that, compensate that. But with a high-power rifle, if all it takes at such a young age of proficiency is hours of simulation, and we continue to give access to these young people. And I want to deal now with that other point, because again, I can't state enough, Charlie is innocent. His viewpoints are innocent. The person who was off the rails is the shooter. The shooter was radicalized.
Right.
So what does it mean to be radicalized? The process where an individual adopts increasingly extreme beliefs or attitudes, moving away from the mainstream, social norms, and potentially leading to support or engagement in violent or extreme actions, ideologies, political, or for religious goals. So the greater issue, and unfortunately, Charlie is going to be a martyr for this, is that a person who has been radicalized, having access to such a powerful weapon that does not take a high proficiency to use, takes a couple pounds of pressure to engage, and can be that accurate at that distance, I think it's time to start getting serious about access. Because we're about to open up a can of horrendous actions from a whole generation that is suffering from not only mental illness, my opinion, not a professional diagnosis, only looking at not being able to have a conversation, believing that what you are doing is for the greater good. That's what it means to be off the rails, off the reservation. That's what mental illness is. Not having the ability to reason, to critical think, and then to take that and turn that into violence. The young man who committed the act was off the rails. We're going to have that conversation of access, because what I'm pointing out is that there are going to be more Charlie Chris's out there. Charlie Kirk, sorry. Charlie Kirk. There's going to be more Charlies out there, but there's going to also be more of these young men that are out there. And Donald Trump encountered one of these young men, similar weapon on the roof, but nowhere near the same, did not have the same ability, but had access to a similar weapon, but the target and the accuracy was not there. But the weapon was very accurate, but the person was not. And to continue to give radicalized people access to these weapons who have been radicalized, that's going to increase the danger, and that is going to silence speech. That's what we don't want. We want speech, and we want the ability to have an open dialogue. And what I don't want is to create environments where people are innocent until proven guilty, but reversed. Guilty until proven innocent. Right. We don't want that environment. We don't want them to flip the narrative that a certain group of people are guilty automatically because they don't agree with a viewpoint. So you're guilty. So we're automatically going to charge you. We don't want that society. We want dialogue. And unless we change the access and how accessible it is to be able to utilize a piece of equipment, the reason why Charlie was in an open bowl at a university was because that's his claim to fame, is talking to college students.
Right.
But his freedom was used against him. And this radicalized person who could not handle a conversation took this young man's life in front of his family and in front of his kids. That creates a whole nother cycle of generation of people who now become radicalized to do similar type of violence. Nobody is winning when it's violence upon violence. And that's what Christ stood for, the end of the violence. And whether or not I agree with this young man is totally different than the position we're taking with this podcast. We're telling you that if access to weapons that took this young man out, and we don't address that access, we are going to have more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that. I think that we just live in such a time to where people don't want to hear and not willing to talk about differences. And whether or not I agree with the philosophy of Mr. Kirk or not, I still don't believe that he should have died for believing what he believed.
Oh, you that's know, a fact.
I always go back to, you know, friends of mine's, you know, so I'm telling on myself a little bit. So me and these buddies of mine, when I was in the military, they said, hey, we're going to go over to this place and we want you to go with us. And I was the designated driver. Them guys had been drinking all day long. And, you know, so it was on one of our off days. And so I drove them to this place that was way back off in somewhere. I was like, man, where y'all got me going? So we finally get there and we all walk in. And the waitress came from behind the counter and she says, hey, you guys can stay, but he has to go. They were talking about me. Says, y'all can stay, but he has to go because these guys around here don't like black people. And I was like, you ain't got to tell me one time. I don't want to be any place that you don't want me at. Right. And I say that to say this. I didn't get mad when the lady told me that. I didn't get upset when the lady told me that. I didn't yell out, "Where's my rights? I got rights. You know, plums unum. I deserve to be here. We're all free in America." No, man. If you don't want me there, I heard you. I'm going to leave. And so we all left. You know, the guys were apologetic. It was, "Oh, man, we just didn't know." Nobody knew. That was their mm-hmm. viewpoint. I didn't get mad because of their viewpoint. People have the right to believe what they want to believe. Mm-hmm. Whether we believe Charlie Kirk was accurate or whether we believe he was inaccurate, he's still protected by the First Amendment, free speech. He wasn't hurting anybody. He wasn't causing harm. Whether you agree with him or not, that's your business. That's what we have the right to be. But he didn't deserve to die by this kid who happened to be an intelligent kid, by the way. He wasn't an idiot by no means, because he had a 4.0 GPA when he graduated high school. And he got a four-year Fulbright scholarship to, I believe it was the University of Utah State University. So he wasn't an idiot. But to your point, somewhere he got on the radicalized boat and he couldn't get off of it. And as a result of it, he took a weapon that's supposed to be used for hunting or protection. He had access to it and he used what he had access to commit a heinous crime.
So Christopher Wray, he was the FBI director from 2017 to about 2025. And he stood in front of a congressional panel. And he stated in 2023 that domestic-born terrorism is the greatest threat facing America. So for those who don't know who terrorists are, terrorists are individuals who literally terrorize you, and they force you into doing something that is not free, against your free will, but is based on their ideology. And they literally use terror tactics. And domestic means homegrown. This is not Al-Qaeda. This is not not Al-Qaeda. This is not the Taliban. This is not Hamas. This is domestic. That means good old-fashioned, like this guy that went off the rails, born in the USA, and the guy that went off the rails used terrorism against Charlie. And we need to ask ourselves, the FBI already identified that it is the radicalization of people like you just stated, this 4.0 student who had a family that are MAGA supporters, Make America Great Again. And based on reports, the family stated that he was MAGA, but slowly they noticed that his opinions began to change. And then this person off the rails began to date someone who his family did not like, who was transitioning from a male to a female. And Charlie has every right to state that he does not accept that males, biological, should be able to transfer into females, biological. That's his opinion. He's allowed and he's afforded that right. But this off-the-rail person did not like that viewpoint, was dating someone transitioning. Now, we talked about access to the firearms. Christopher Wray said in 2023, it was domestic terrorism that it was the greatest threat facing America. How did or what radicalized this off-the-rails person to take Charlie's life? I can assure you it was not the card catalog at the library. I assure you he did not go to the card catalog. I assure you he did not get this from Encyclopedia Britannica. I assure you. I assure you he was not radicalized by National Geographic. I assure you of that. He was radicalized by the internet and by internet groups. Let's go back to that word we said before, access. The issue is not Charlie espousing his viewpoint. If you didn't like his idea, debate it. This off the rails person who had access to a firearm, and now we find out access to this internet culture, this culture of social media, radicalized him. It was access to both that caused him to take a life. And no matter how intelligent he scores on tests, he was not able to, through critical thinking, turn off Charlie, turn off being radicalized by the internet, wasn't able to do it, and he used terrorism as a vehicle. That's why Christ said, if you live by it, which is what the shooter did, he's going to die by it, which is why the state is looking to get the death penalty for him, because he lived by the sword, and now they're looking to take him out to die by the sword. The martyr should not be the shooter, nor am I suggesting that Charlie is a martyr. I'm suggesting Charlie had a right to his viewpoints. And until we address the access to what was used, and until we address the access to social media platforms, allowing them to spew out what they spew out at the rate that they spew out, targeting you to elevate you, this is not going to get better.
That's facts.
And when AI comes, excuse me, in the words of my generation, it's a wrap.
So, game over. So I want to circle back, because I was telling somebody just on this week, because they brought up an issue, and I listened at them, but then I went and researched the issue that they were talking about, and I said, "Hey man, before you start spreading what you saw on a sound bite or a clip, you need to research that whole thing so the information that you speak can be accurate and you're not just speaking off a clip." So when you look at these clips and stuff that you see on Facebook scrolling across, they oftentimes don't play the whole clip. They'll play something so they can tug on you to persuade you one way or the other. And so they're really manipulating us into believing a certain way, but we need to be researching and finding out the whole dialogue so we can make a definitive decision, you know, based on the complete evidence, all the facts at this point, before we make a decision on why we believe or what we believe is to be accurate or true.
And you were not privileged to this conversation, but my son told that to my wife verbatim.
Wow.
About this very topic.
I might be a prophet.
You are. When I tell you, I'm going to have to scan my house, because you said exactly word for word what my son, who is a black male, said about this guy, Charlie. He said, "What y'all seeing on these clips are not what this man stood for." He said, "Y'all actually being radicalized. What this man was doing, y'all need to listen to him for yourself, not look at them clips." And he just told that to my wife before we got out here. And he didn't know you were going to say that. And you definitely didn't know he said that. And that's why this is so important for us being American citizens who have melanin in their skin, to let our fellow American citizens know, do not look at me guilty until proven innocent, because I am able to make a decision for myself about what somebody says, and I'm never looking at the intent of what somebody said. I'm looking at their life and their actions. And when you look at what the core of the pillars of what I believe this young man did, he stood for the First Amendment, he stood for dialogue, and he stood for freedom. That's what I heard. Now, I know he had other viewpoints that with the melon in my skin is going to make me feel uneasy. What I want to do is listen to what this man's got to say.
Right.
And I want to hear how he's saying it. And I want to hear how this information may benefit me or it may not. But I want to hear him. The problem is the access. And until we fix that, we are going to have more issues in America, more issues in family, especially based on your explanation of how easy it is to use this piece of equipment. We know how easy it is to use these social media platforms. There are guardrails on the Constitution of the United States. And I know it might not look like it, but there's guardrails on the presidency of the United States. One of the guardrails on the president of the United States is that he cannot shoot the vice president. I don't care what the circumstances are. He can't shoot him.
Right.
He can't do it. So there's guardrails on everybody. And I'm saying that anytime you operate outside of the guardrails, that's when you're going to get in trouble. And if you got access to means that will allow you to become the judge, the juror, and the executioner, we need to remove access from individuals who are going to become the judge, the juror, and the executioner. That person should not have access to being radicalized, should not have access to high-powered weapons that allow an ease, such an ease of use that the weapon itself increases your accuracy. Man, there's a lot of people who say a lot of things. Man, my wife and her biscuits, come on, man. She got access to a high-power fire weapon. After I talk about the biscuits that she made, I'm still pulling out my teeth and still making dental appointments. But the last batch she made was delicious. The first batch, I had to see my dentist, get a complete reconstruction. It was so hard.
You're trying to end up in the doghouse.
Well, I'm just saying, but you can't allow that mad wife to have access to any. So I'm allowed to say it's nasty. It don't taste good. I'm allowed to say what I say about it. But she should not be able to take my life because of it. And that's what this podcast is about. You can have strong, passionate disagreements. But when you part, you both are supposed to be breathing.
So, you know, I'm a strong believer in that freedom requires a whole lot of responsibility.
That's right.
And I think that I believe that if you want to be free, then you have to behave according to your desire to be free. I don't think and you have to be responsible. I don't believe that irresponsible people should be free. I don't care who it is. So
I agree.
My way to handle this would be, because I definitely do not, I don't want to take away the freedom of people to have the right to bear arms. I don't want to touch that. But what I will say is that if you've proven yourself to be irresponsible, if you've proven yourself to be emotionally and psychologically irresponsible, then we should make it a mandatory law that those people should not be allowed to have weapons. And if those people who are emotionally and psychologically disproportionate and not responsible, then they do not get weapons, or there's a high consequence if you get caught with one. But for us responsible people, it's not fair to me that you know, I shouldn't be able to, I shouldn't have a weapon. It's not fair to you that you should not have a weapon because we're both responsible people. But for the irresponsible people that if they already say, oh, if you're a felon, you can't have a weapon. Okay, well, if you're a felon, you get caught with a weapon again, then you just don't get out of prison ever again. I'm just that strong, you know.
And I understand it, but this he doesn't meet your criteria because he's not a felon. I'm saying the last part. So yeah, he's not a felon. So and this wasn't his gun. This was a family heirloom. So he would still be allowed to possess this this particular weapon, even based on what you are describing now, which I think is a good start for somehow addressing, and the term is just access. And I agree what you said. Everything you said is an access, and some type of way should be prevented, would not prevent him. The other dilemma to me is that, again, at such a young age, this guy's in his 20s. He, to my understanding, based on reports, around 22, 23, very young. Who trained him to do scope out the area? Who trained him how to get a weapon to that location? And this was not a pistol. This was a long gun. Where did he learn how to? He didn't have your 10 years of military experience. How in the world, why would we provide the access to that specific degree on how to take someone out who you disagree with? The ability to be able to maneuver that long, it's a long weapon, not a handgun. It's about this weapon that he used from the butt of the gun being at his feet, going to his waist. The barrel is going to be beyond his waist. It's hot summer in Utah, so you don't have a trench coat on. How in the world are we allowing access to information that gives him access to get to a door, an elevator, that leads to an elevated position that allows him to crouch down with a black blanket and shoot? That's the problem. He should not have had access to even know how to do it. I'm just telling you right now, I still don't know how to create rocket fuel, and I don't have access to it. You know what else I don't have access to? I don't have access, it just ask Iran, pun intended, on how to create a nuclear weapon either. Do you there are certain things that they don't give us even on the internet? There are certain things that they won't give us access to. Why is that? Why don't we have access on how to create a rocket to go to the moon? Why don't we have access to that?
But I can tell you, Bishop, you may not be able to find it on YouTube. You may not be able to find it on Google. You may not even see it on Facebook. But there's a dark web out there. And these people, some of these people are members of the dark web. And they get all that information. And it's, you know, I've heard the government say that it's hard to keep track of everything that's going on the dark web, but they're doing sex trafficking. They're selling narcotics. They're selling guns on dark web.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that. But my point is, if the dark web, Kim Jong-un does not have access to nuclear weapons, and he has a whole building dedicated with hackers.
Yeah.
Dedicated with hackers. But he still don't have access. There are people who would do a lot of harm if they had access.
Oh, yeah. But
they're keeping access away from people who would do the harm. Iran would destroy Israel in a minute if they had access. Even Putin, who hates America. Putin hates America. Putin don't care nothing about America. Putin, if Iran can give Putin Ukraine, he would give Iran nuclear weapons. Why hasn't Putin given Iran or Kim Jong-un the nuclear weapons? Same thing with President Xi. How about this? Same thing with Australia. Same thing with India. That's the one that has nuclear weapons. Same thing with India. Why hasn't India given people keep saying that I'm not disagreeing about what people can find out there. But I know there's a lot of things that people want access to but can't find. And they got money. They got people searching, but they still can't find it. Until we are able to solve this access issue. And I'm starting to think they don't want to solve the access issue because they're able to use it to work behind the scenes to do what they want to do. And I've already given you an example of nuclear weapons that people who have resource to hackers, they got resource to money, literally oil everywhere. They got money. They got money, but they don't have access. How is access being denied? Whereas when it comes to being radicalized, even on the dark web, that access ain't denied. And I just want you to know the dark web is still controlled on somebody's server. And Kim Jong-un don't have no server. So they keep talking about dark web. I'm telling you, it's on somebody's cloud somewhere. And it's only a couple companies that are able to host clouds, period. And they know they are. There ain't no dark nothing. It's in somebody's data room, and they know it. But that access is still being controlled, and the information is still being allowed to flow freely. This off-the-rails person had access. That's the problem. Access to firearms, access to being radicalized. That access was not denied, and they were able to carry out. They exploited our freedoms. The scripture says that sin used the law as an occasion, meaning that the law was holy, just, and good, but sin perverted the law. And since it did, it had access to it, tore it up, completely destroyed it. Until we find a way to remove access, these things are going to continue to happen. And what this radical, and that's why I don't want people, you're crazy to celebrate this.
Right.
This has powered a movement that's going to be more powerful than what occurred at the split at the Civil War with the North and the South. And this is not what you want. And you see the ripples that have been caused because this person went off the rails. We're going to have to find a way to limit access. We got to promote the freedom of speech. We have to promote hard dialogue. We have to promote differences. And we have to promote that afterwards, you both are able to leave breathing. If you started the dialogue breathing, you should be able to leave the dialogue breathing. And then somebody should not be able, with 200 yards away, while you are speaking, take the breath away from you because they had access to two things that they had no business having access to. How in the world does this cat know to get up tall, man? That's just wrong. The fact that he know to get up tall is wrong. The fact that he know to shoot was wrong. The fact that he know the bullet to use is wrong. That access is wrong. A lot of people don't even know. And you military, you're going to do, you know better than me. You put a gun and a bullet. Give me one gun and five bullets and tell me, put this bullet in a gun. Give me five bullets and one gun. Because I don't have access. I don't have access. And when you give that access and put it in the wrong hands of somebody who's radical, man, it's just,
So
that you don't have access to, you don't have access to the U.S. Treasury, do you?
No.
Why is that? So I'm telling you, there are ways to stop access. There are ways to stop access.
I had to think about that for a minute. You said the U.S. Treasury, because I got a couple of dollars in my pocket.
Got a couple, but we ain't got what's down there.
I want to say this, Bishop, and you may agree or disagree. I think there's two points of access here that I want to bring out. So there's the access of knowledge.
Yes.
But then there's the access of material.
That's true.
This guy, so if you're building a nuclear bomb, you first need the knowledge of what it takes to build it. But then you need access to the material. So you can have the knowledge of it, but not have the access to the material. This particular gentleman had the knowledge of it. He had the access of the knowledge, but he had the access of the material to complete his mission.
So what we got to prevent.
So I think the knowledge is always going to be around, because there's people, if they're not going, you know, they might be just passing out pamphlets, or they may be passing somebody a note. They may be sending somebody a text message. But the access of the material. So, I mean, I know how Claymore mines work. You know, I took Claymore mine training when I was in the military. Mm-hmm. And so I have the knowledge of what it takes to be able to set up Claymore mines. Mm-hmm. But I don't have access to the mines.
That's correct.
So I just wanted to point out, there's two different accesses.
Do you realize, since you brought that up, that's another one that I never realized. And I know it's an access and they're preventing it. Like you said, material and knowledge. Let's stick with that. They don't have hand grenades on the street.
I haven't seen any hand grenades being dispersed on the streets.
You don't have to say that. Even though you weren't born in this day, you know this day they got cameras. And we would know it if somebody had a hand grenade and launched it. But you realize that there are no bank robberies being committed with hand grenades. You notice that? There's no hand grenades found in the park. Access. You know what else? A rocket launcher. Yeah. Why don't we see in the ghetto, which is where a lot of people think it would be found? I don't think a rocket launcher would be in the ghetto. I honestly believe it would be on a farm somewhere with one of these country cowboys getting drunk, looking at trees, launching them.
They're making the potato launchers.
They got potato launchers. Yeah.
But it's the same concept, though.
No, I'm in agreement, but there ain't no bomb strapped to it. Why isn't there access to that out there? And I'm just letting you know, to your point of knowledge and material.
Yeah.
Most people, and we all got the knowledge on how to use a grenade. They'd have made that dummy proof. Once you pull that pin and you release, there's a timer clicking.
Hey, when I was in the military, we had three rules because I took grenade training. Three rules. Pull the pin, prepare to throw. The first rule of throwing a grenade is not to milk it. Because as soon as you let the tension go on that clip, it starts that timer. So pull the pin, prepare to throw, and you throw and you get down. And let me tell you something, man. We ought to be thanking God every day that people don't have access to grenades.
But I'm saying, whatever policy they have in place to prevent that access, those same minds need to prevent the access to these high-powered weapons and to being radicalized. Until that is stopped, and we done already talked about three different major things that we don't have access to.
Right.
But there are, you from the military, you know SOP, standard operating procedures. People work at preventing access. That's why they're not on the streets. They would be in Chicago. If Chicago could have hand grenades and boxes of them, they would have them, and they would be taking them and throwing them. Why wouldn't you?
Woo.
Why would, if you are mentally unstable, why in the world wouldn't you take a grenade and throw it? They're doing the same thing with guns, especially for a turf war, a drug guy. Why would, why, what is he shooting you? He let you sit in your car, take that grenade and drop it in your lap and just go the other way. So I'm saying, but they're preventing access. We are going to have to change this discussion. This man's death should be the platform to springboard us to the greater discussion, not to what he said that made somebody upset or they didn't understand, couldn't hold two different opinions in their brain. The access to what took that young man's life, we got to address it. The access that caused this person to be radicalized to take his life.
Yeah.
If we don't start taking that out of the equation, this is about to get worse. And we're going to create unfortunate scenes like we had. And just like, not only was his parents there, but the fact that it happened live and they didn't stop them videos from circulating. Access. Why in the, I know why they let it go. But that was wrong to do. Well, there is no way
you can't a three-year-old
on their parents' phone at that time on Facebook, they were going to get that feed, click it, and look at it. Same thing with a 10-year-old and a 9-year-old. They don't know what they're looking at, but they're seeing real live footage of this poor man dying. Millions upon millions of people have seen it. And all they had was their phone in the hand. They didn't ask to see that clip. That clip was sent to them. Access. If we don't find a way, like we found a way to stop access to other things, we got to find a way to stop that access.
Yeah, I just want to say that there was probably no way they could have stopped that video from circulating. No way. Unless they tapped everybody's phone that was there. Because I can send you that same clip and not send it over social media. I could have sent it to you directly. So I'm just, you know, I'm not saying it's right. There should have been a way to do it. But there would have been no way to stop that video from getting out.
Well, to your point, I'm letting you know there's a way. Because during COVID, anytime somebody tried to tell you to take Metformin or that the vaccination wasn't good, they shut you down.
Your cell phone?
No, I'm saying a video. No, the video. They were at the video.
Right. So what I'm saying is if I'm sending you a video person to person, not over social media,
they would I'm not talking about person to person. Anytime that video is uploaded, it's uploaded to a cloud.
Exactly. That part they can stop. They can stop.
Damn.
They can't stop
it from being on your phone.
Nope.
But they can prevent you from uploading it.
Yeah. So I can send you a video from phone to phone through SMS.
I'm not disagreeing. That limits your access, though. This is not millions upon millions upon millions. Phone to phone, and even after a while, you stop because you let people know. Just like now. Speak bad about Charlie and see what happened to you and your job.
Hey, bro.
They gonna find you. And that's access, man. They are preventing it. There are ways to shut that down. They know they can shut that down. And I'm just, these people are acting like, well, we didn't know. Yeah, there was something you can do.
Now,
there's something you can do.
I have been in somewhat of a debacle, if you will, because, and I'm going back to when we first started talking about freedom of speech.
Yes.
I am protected, and we talked about it, the First Amendment, and we're also protected by Article 1, Section 2 under Ohio. If I'm not saying anything illegal or saying anything that's a lie, I'm protected by state and federal law.
That's right.
But, and this is where it gets tricky, if I violate the policies of the organization that I'm working for, the First Amendment or Article 1, Section 2 is not going to protect me at all.
No, it protects you, but It don't protect you from being fired.
Yeah, all the way to the employment office.
No, so it protects you. But like you said, the employer's manual trumps that protection. They saying you got the right to say it. And I'm telling you, you had no right to say it and you fired.
That's where it gets tricky, because when I was a manager, I took a human resources class for several days. Let me tell you, it's a whole lot in the manuals that you got to learn. But state laws can be more restrictive than federal laws. They can't be less restrictive than.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Personal company laws can be more restrictive than, but not less restrictive than the state laws. Mm-hmm. So, ladies and gentlemen, read your policies and procedures to make sure that you're in compliance with the social media policies on your job.
That's right.
If you're a school teacher, you may not can be at a pool party in a bathing suit with your students, or you might get the axe. So
that is correct. And I mean, to the point you're making, that I think is the greater point concerning speaking, freedom of speech, being protected by the law, being protected by your job. What I believe is important for all of us, and I know everybody don't live their life by the scriptures, don't follow the scriptures, but Paul said, all things might be lawful, but not expedient.
Preach.
So you better find yourself within the guidelines. But that's why I said, with me and you, I'm not here to denounce nothing other than that person who was radicalized that had no right. That's the evil in all of this. Speech is speech. The person who took the life, that's the wrong. My concern is the access to be able to do it and the tool that was so easy to use that it allowed you to enhance your hate and the access to even being radicalized. I believe both could have been spared. The shooter and Charlie, had this person not been radicalized. I just don't think, I don't care who you are, talk is still talk. As long as people don't put their hands on you, it's always just talk. You never allow to put your hands on a person. But all Charlie was doing was speaking.
Yeah.
Had no right to lose his life by speech. Just like I don't. Nobody's got a right. I don't care who you are. We have freedom of speech. And we got to work on the access. And until we get that fixed, I don't see it. Read them policies, like you said. Less restrictive. All things are lawful, not expedient. Don't just say it because you believe it's in your heart. It might not be right, and it might get you fired.
But, you know, Bishop, I'm going to say this, and I know this is going to open a huge can of worms. That's what I'm known for, right? J. Will always opens a can of worms. This is J. Will. I open cans of worms, just in case you didn't know it. But I have found in the past 10 years that there are more radical people on the left and the right. And I hear people that you think are good people that have some type of twisted radical viewpoint. I hear deacons and I hear preachers. I hear evangelists. I hear bankers. I hear dentists. Good people that's got some type of radicalization in them, whether it be far left or whether it be far right. And so I believe that we have entered this climate to where people cannot reason together and cannot agree to disagree, but that their point and their strong will and their viewpoint has to be correct, and everybody else is wrong. And I think this is just farther than we can grab a hold of and get back in control at this point.
Access. They should not have access to that information. Because they can't handle it. Just that simple. And I don't agree with radicalization by anybody, unless you radical for Christ. I don't want you to be so radical that I got to believe what you believe, how you believe. I just want you to live for Christ. But you got your faith walk. I got my faith walk. This access that allowed people to be extreme, to the greater point that you were making in the beginning, they're not listening to the whole clip. They're just listening to partials of these clips. They're forming these opinions that these bots want them to form. As a society, if we want to heal, we're going to have to find a way to go beyond clips. And we got to find a way to find the human side of every argument. Just find right. the human side of it.
So Bishop, about this radicalization, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't want anyone to be able to be radicalized on either side. I do believe in being radical for Christ, but not radical to the point where I won't accept your belief, you have to accept mine. Don't believe in that. I don't believe in extremes on either side. And I am not a left, right, or independent. I am not for anyone having access to something that does not allow them to see the human side of the discussion. Any discussion, you want to see the human side of it. And I don't want to be guilty first and then innocent later.
Right.
So if what you are espousing says that the person that I'm espousing this about is guilty. So if I start with a Democrat, if I am guilty because I'm a Democrat, I'm saying something is wrong with that.
I'm
guilty because I say I'm a Republican, something is wrong with that. If I'm guilty because I say I'm an independent, something is wrong with that. If I'm guilty because I say I'm an American, I'm a Puerto Rican, I'm Hispanic, something is wrong with that. We can't be guilty first. And then we need to prove our innocence. And our opinions make us guilty first. No, that is not a path that's going to lead to brighter dialogue, that leads to advances in humanity. We have to look for the humanity in the discussion. And all of our discussions can be robust. We can disagree. I don't even mind being disagreeable. We don't have to agree. We can be disagreeable, but we both should leave breathing. That's exactly what I'm concerned about. And when we don't foster an environment where people are allowed to hold their opinions and then they have access to things that cause them to just create more havoc and harm. And I know there are areas in our society that can cause even greater harm, but nobody have access to it. I know other nations, if they had access to it, I mean, believe there's a ton of criminals who would get on an island. And if they could sell nuclear weapons to all of these rogue countries, they would.
Yeah.
But they don't have access.
They don't same have thing, access.
No, same thing with the hand grenades or what you said, landmines. We don't have no landmines out there. Anytime you get a disagreement with your neighbor, you bury a landmine. Come on, man. What? And I will tell you this. If Amazon could sell landmines, they'd be and they'd overnight it.
They probably got a baking soda recipe on there somewhere. They probably got a recipe. Just mix some bleach and baking soda. That'll get it. Or some vinegar. Make it a little. Anyway, don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. We don't say it. We won't be held liable.
But Bishop, we're not for any violence.
This has been a great conversation. Don't forget to email Bishop, truthministries30@gmail.com, truthministries30@gmail.com, to donate to Truth Ministries. You can do it via the Kroger app under Kroger Community Rewards. Type in JX228. Again, that's Juliet X-Ray 228. My military kicked in to donate to Truth Ministries. Hit me up, LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow my music page, James Williams Music, and follow Truth Ministries Facebook page. If you want to hear some good sermons, you want to see Bishop in his robe and his prayer cloth, you can see him doing it. I tell you what, man, Bishop always has a good word. And always great conversation, Bishop. I just appreciate you. I really do. Any last words before we get out of here?
We just want to make sure that we're stressing. We're not supporting violence. We're not celebrating violence. We're not celebrating the fact that someone lost their life in front of their wife and their children. It was terrible. And the celebration and anybody who celebrates it, Christ already said, if you celebrate violence, violence is going to happen to you. That's why you don't celebrate it. And we don't want anybody in a mindset that they are celebrating the loss of a life for speaking. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. And remember, all these people who are celebrating, this is exactly why they killed Christ. Not for what he did, but for what he said.
Hey, the Bible says that a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're supposed to be sowing love, peace, and harmony, not discord. So, all right, until the next time, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord God give you peace.